Welcome to Econoday's Economists Roundtable. With me today are Jeremy Hawkins and Mark Pender. Jeremy covers Europe and Mark the U.S. I am Ann Picker, Econoday's Chief Economist. One of the three central bank announcements that will be made this week occurred last night, U.S. Eastern Time. Essentially, the Bank of Japan kept its policy interest rate unchanged at minus 0.1% and raised its forecast for growth. Its policies also include targeting the shape of the yield curve for 10-year JGBs. The target remains around 0%. And the BOJ adjusts the pace of its purchases of government bonds in order to keep the yield close to that target level. The Monetary Policy Board revised its median forecast for GDP growth from 1.0% to 1.4% for the fiscal year 2016, which ends on March 31st, 2017. From 1.3% to 1.5% for the fiscal year 2017 and from 0.9% to 1.1% for fiscal 2018. These upward revisions reflect an improved outlook for other major economies and the recent depreciation of the yen. However, the BOJ maintained its cautious stance on inflation, as companies are still reluctant to raise prices for goods and services. The BOJ now sees consumer price inflation of minus 0.2% for fiscal 2016. That's down from November's estimate of minus 0.1%. Its inflation forecast for 2017 was kept at 1.5%, while that for fiscal year 2018 was held at 1.7%. Jeremy, you've had a very busy day.
Yes.
Want to comment on your plethora of data?
Indeed, yes. I think we've all had enough data over here. Thank you very much. But it's been quite an interesting suite because we're beginning to pick up some slightly different trends, I suppose, within the European economy now. I certainly won't go through them all because there's too many for that. But just to pick out, really, since we last spoke, I guess, there have been three important figures as far as the Eurozone is concerned. Firstly, we had the preliminary flash GDP figure for the first quarter. So this, if people remember, is an early stab at the flash GDP report itself. So it simply gives us the headline growth numbers, no GDP expenditure components, and none of the individual countries either. But anyway, in a nutshell, that showed a rise of 0.5% on the quarter. That was a little bit stronger than expected and the best figure we've seen on a quarterly basis since the first quarter of 2015. Same time, we've also had the January Economic Sentiment Index, which is one of the central bank's preferred measures of what's going on in the economy. That weighed in January at close to a six-year high. And backing that lot up, we also had a hefty fall in unemployment, which now stands on a rate basis at its lowest since May 2009. Round it off then with the inflation figures for January and the flash HICP, which is the main index we look at in the Eurozone. That climbed up to 1.8% in January from 1.1%, stronger than expected. So if you put all that little lot together, it really does suggest that come the next ECB meeting, they're going to be pretty happy about the way things are moving. However, and of course, when isn't there a however? If we're looking at the inflation numbers, the core rates, the key two core rates that come out with this flash report, they both showed no change. So they're both steady at 0.9%. So that's actually 0.1% below where we were just a year ago. So in other words, it really is down to what's going on. The usual volatile suspects, energy in particular, and also food and alcohol and tobacco as well. The bottom line is that growth does appear to be picking up slowly, but it's still very questionable as to what's really going to happen with inflation in underlying terms over the course of this year or so. But all that said, the ECB certainly must feel under a lot less pressure now to come out with any additional monetary accommodation as far as 2017 is concerned. I suppose moving the other way, you mentioned the central bank meetings this week. Clearly, we have the Bank of England MPC on Thursday. I don't think anyone's expecting any kind of key change in key interest rates or indeed quantitative easing then. But what will be significant is we'll get an updated inflation forecast and indeed GDP forecast courtesy of a new inflation report. And markets can be looking at that quite closely to see whether or not the bank's going to upgrade its inflation call and possibly growth call. Last week, we saw fourth quarter GDP come in at 0.6% quarterly rate. Fully, if you like, the flash estimate over here. Again, that was stronger than expected, a good deal stronger than the Bank of England was anticipating. So more of the same, and certainly these financial markets can start thinking that, well, perhaps we could see UK interest rates going up this year after all. Bank of England's certainly in no hurry to do that, but the pressure is certainly building. So a lot going on in terms of policy speculation as far as Europe's concerned.
The inflation report is due tomorrow, and the market usually says if anything's going to happen with interest rates, it happens when the inflation report is also released. But there's no sign of anything like that as we speak. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I'd be extremely surprised to see any move. Although, as we mentioned, the numbers have been coming in consistently stronger than markets expected, and particular BOE expected. The bank at this stage is very much sticking with the line that, okay, so Brexit doesn't appear to have much of an impact on the economy so far, but we still think that it will hit growth significantly during the course of 2017. So I think even if we see an upgrade to the inflation and the growth numbers, the underlying tone coming out of Mark Carney's statement on Thursday will be that we're not going to see any change in policy for some little while. And indeed, he may still hint that rates are more likely to go down than up, although I think now that's probably a little bit unlikely.
Mark, yes. Wednesday brings the FOMC announcement.
It does.
Expectations are that there will be a boring event with no policy move. However, right. The announcement could bring a window on what the FOMC is thinking, looking ahead to the March meeting, which also includes the chair press conference and new forecasts. The floor is yours.
Well, that makes a rate action more likely at the next meeting. There really aren't much chance of a rate hike at the coming meeting. And inflation readings here haven't been, we had several of them today, and they're really not showing. Well, we had a little uptick recovery in consumer inflation expectations, but the employment cost index is not accelerating. Benefit costs, employers are not getting squeezed by benefit costs, and so that was an interesting result. And we had home price data from Case-Shiller, which showed a little bit of an uptick, but is still running at about 5% home price appreciation in the U.S., which is about the highest rate of return around. I had a question. There seemed to be something that I similar in both of your outlooks here, comments. And when you said that the BOJ upped its GDP forecast a bit, but kept its CPI at a 1.5% for fiscal 2017. Is that right? Plus 1.5?
Yes, they showed definite signs of some price increases.
But the current year was minus 2%, right?
Right.
So, well, that's it doesn't make any sense.
Mark, that's for the year 2006, the whole year.
The year 2016, the CPI is going to come in at minus 2. And then next year, they see it increasing to 1.5?
Correct.
That's a pretty optimistic increase, I would think.
Say so. I would agree with you.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's those kinds of expectations over here. We have our growth is also... I wouldn't really say it's improving too much. It's actually slowed to 1.9% in the fourth quarter, last week's data, from 3.5% in the third quarter. And it included what may be an unwanted inventory build, which could be a story that unfolds negatively in this quarter. But the consumer was still in there at about a 2.5% rate of growth, which is pretty solid. But it was isolated to auto sales. Interestingly, we had... the consumer confidence report had buying plans today, and they're way down for auto sales. And so maybe demand has been sapped with the big, strong surge. And if we pull that out from the fourth quarter, if it wasn't for auto sales in the fourth quarter wouldn't have looked so good. So, and maybe we can't expect that same kind of strength to extend into the first quarter, which would be a negative. So far, we've had all these big readings for business expectations and consumer expectations, but they haven't panned out to much economic pop at all for the economy, at least yet. It's still very early, but that is a factor. Whether or not the Fed is going to address these issues, I mean, they pride themselves on looking forward in their analysis in their most prudent way possible. But here, they don't seem to be taking into consideration the possibility of, you know, a new economic time and new economic energy and new economic rates of change. So it's kind of they're playing the waiting game. The waiting game, of course. And as things unfold here, and so I think that's probably going to take a pass tomorrow. But then we have the employment report on Friday, and the little details that we've been seeing, we saw some positives in the consumer confidence report again, more people saying that jobs are easier to get, fewer saying that they're very hard to get. So that is a positive for the Friday report. And remember, the employment reports here have been very, very solid in the 150 zone. For non-farm payroll growth, anything like that will continue to be a positive. But whether or not it's going to bring on wage inflation, that's the big thing.
Can I just ask you quickly a question on the payroll?
Sure.
I think you're talking about the possibility of probably not a rate hike this time round, but perhaps next time. What kind of sort of weakness do you think would be needed in the payroll to perhaps, you know, put that into the meeting after the next one?
To push back a rate hike?
Yeah, to defer it.
You would need to have the weakness in the average hourly earnings. They have risen monthly 0.4% in two of the last 3 months. The year-on-year rate is approaching 3%. So that could definitely be a flashpoint. And with unemployment so low, I mean, we have JOLTS out next week, and they'll show you about a 5.5 million job openings. And we have about 7.2 million unemployed here or actively looking for work. I guess they don't fit those job descriptions, but that is a wage-sensitive possibility. So if you saw those wage numbers, those average hourly earnings come down, excuse me, if they came down, I think that could push back. Or you had a gain in the participation rate. But right now, the employment report is really the labor market's really very, very tight as far as the data go. And, you know, the administration is talking about, well, you can look at other kinds of data. You can. But as far as, you know, people actively looking for work, it's tight conditions right now, which is an inflationary possibility, inflationary concern for especially for policymakers who, you know, there are two things: are to get employment strong, full employment, we have that, and to avoid inflation. So, and to avoid that, they're going to have to raise interest rates. Whether or not that would fit into the new economic environment remains to be seen, and what kind of controversy that could cause.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jeremy. Till next week. Cheers.